The first lesson is found in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder's labor is vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guard stands watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offsprings a reward for him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from John chapter 19, beginning with verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Good morning, grace and peace to you, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. It is a joy to be with you this morning. Those of you worshiping with us online, we're glad that you are here. We're glad that you've had the opportunity to join us. My name is Pastor Jeff, and I want to wish all of you a happy Mother's Day. And I also want to explain, last Sunday, I didn't do a good job of explaining, but I'm okay. If you were here last week, service started very differently, and I just couldn't find words, because God had something else in store for me that morning, and it was just an absolute gift. I felt my son who was here, Josh, he's like, "What's going on? What does he know that I don't know?" Well, Josh, I don't know anything that you don't know. God is just that good. And last Sunday, as I gathered in for worship, I was just absolutely overwhelmed with God's goodness. because God is abundant and good, and he pours himself into our lives, and it is just such a privilege to be in his house with all of you. And it is a privilege to be in his house this morning on Mother's Day. I think based on what you just heard in our passages this morning, you kind of get an idea that family is a big deal to God. Parenthood is a big deal to God. Children is a big deal to the Lord. Community is a powerful thing. According to Scripture, it is a gift from God for us to be here together. Relationship with one another, with family, with friends, with God's people, and his community, his world. The character of God is all about bringing all of creation, all people, into right relationship with him. So I would pray that each and every one of us would be encouraged this morning. But especially I would like to speak a word of encouragement to all the women that are with us this morning. So as you are able, I would invite every woman here, as you are able, to please stand. Please stand. Don't be shy. Thank you for all that you do for your families, for this church, for those in your lives. And I pray that God would bless you today. You may be seated. I take it you're already seated.
Today is Mother's Day, and we want to acknowledge all the women we're blessed to know. We rejoice over you for your strength, your wisdom, your strong love, your beautiful faith. Whether today is a celebration for you or a day of quiet reflection and healing, we're thinking of all of you. If you gave birth this year to your first child, our joy overflows and we celebrate with you. If you adopted a child this year or became a foster parent, we rejoice with you and we want to honor you in your commitment to changing the lives of children. If you continue to struggle with infertility, we're hoping with you and holding your hand in prayer. If you are exhausted and feeling underappreciated for all you do for a house full of kids, we applaud you. We love you, and we appreciate you more than you can ever imagine. And if you lost a child this year to death or miscarriage, we weep and mourn with you. And if your child is lost to addiction or to the world, we hurt with you, and we join you in putting our hope in the one who brings prodigals home. If you live with painful memories of your mom, we pray that you will find in a spiritual mother all that you never had from a birth mom. And if you're one of those amazing spiritual moms, we thank you for stepping up and being there when others couldn't. If you're experiencing an empty nest for the first time this year, we walk with you in this new season and are excited about the next chapter God has planned for you. If you're single, we celebrate your strength, beauty, and individuality, and join with you in praying for the desires of your heart. If you're a single mom and wonder if you have the physical energy and financial resources to raise and provide for your child or children, we want to help you, and we will. And if you're pregnant for the first time, we prayerfully anticipate with you the joyful birth of a healthy child. And to all the special women on this Mother's Day, rest and delight in knowing that we are thankful for you, and we celebrate each and every one of you.
As we begin our time this morning, if you would please pray with me. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are the giver of all life. And we thank you that you are a relational God. We praise you for creating motherhood. We thank you for the women in our congregation who are mothers through birth, through adoption, or fostering. We pray, Lord, that you will be their joy in the delights of motherhood, that you will be their comfort in the difficulties and sorrows that come with being a mom. We pray for all of our mothers, whether married or single, that they will be supported by family, by friends, and all of us here as their church family. We pray that you will support them spiritually, physically, and relationally. We thank you for those in our church who are grandmothers and great-grandmothers. Help them share and model Christian wisdom and love to their younger generations. We praise you, Lord, for those of us who have enjoyed the numerous blessings of a good mother. We pray for those of us whose mothers have died, who are ill, and for any complexities we have with those griefs, that you will console us, that we will take to heart that we are your precious children, and that you never let us go. In your mercy, please save any of our mothers who have not invited you into their lives. We pray for any of us here who have a complex relationship or no relationship with our mother, or whose mothers have harmed us, that you, God of all goodness and love, will continue to comfort us and give us wisdom. And as a church family, that we will care for those among us who have difficult relationships with their mothers. Dear Lord, we know that we can come to you in our deepest grief and lament, since you alone have the power over life and death. You are the eternal Lord. We bring before you now those who have had a child who has died, for those with infertility, for those who have not are not yet in a position to become a physical mom and would dearly long to be one, for those who are estranged from our children, for those who have difficult relationships with their children. Please help us grieve well, that we will bring our laments to you. We know that you always see us, so we pray that we will encourage us to keep facing you in our time of distress. Please give us the deep peace which is found only in you, even in the sorrows that come with living this side of the new creation. Father, we thank you. We thank you that all the women in our church have the privilege to be spiritual mothers, whether they have children or not. Thank you that so many women in our church are already exercising this gift. We pray that each keep coming to a deeper understanding that none are neutral, that they do influence others for the sake of the kingdom. So we pray that each, as Christian women, will keep taking up opportunities to be spiritual mothers, to influence people for good, for the gospel, for your kingdom, to help people grow in their love and joy of Jesus. Father, we pray for all these things in Jesus' mighty name and for his glory. Amen. So happy Mother's Day. Today, on this Mother's Day, I hope to bring a word of encouragement to each and every one of us. We're reminded today, I kind of want to say we're picking up where Pastor Rick left off or continuing an absolutely beautiful sermon. I know for me, that was one of the elements where God just spoke to my heart last week. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Jesus, God wants us to see Jesus. God wants to be seen. God is not hidden. God is not far off. God is longing to be known. God is longing to be seen. God is longing to be in relationship with us. God is longing to be in relationship with you. From the very beginning, as Adam and Eve and all of us have walked in disobedience. God has put into place a rescue plan that brings us to Jesus. Because he wants to be found, he wants to be seen, he wants to be in relationship with us. God is a relational God. And here this morning on this Mother's Day, I think we have this wonderful window into the character of God. The character of God that longs to be seen, to be found, to be in relationship. And I would pray that, Lord, you would transform our hearts and our minds, that we might see as you see, that, Lord, we might have your heart for this world. Whether we are parents or not, Lord, we pray that you would give us your eyes for all of creation, for people, that we would interact with one another. I wanted to share two stories of transformation in my own life, the ways in which God has given me a couple moments, and my prayer would be that you would have moments like these as well, moments where suddenly you see things as God sees them. For me, there have been many of those moments over time, but two stick out in particular, especially on this morning where we have this window into the character of God. One is I was about 18, 19 at the time, working at my in-law's bowling center, and my father-in-law was an absolutely wonderful man that truly, truly loved to care for and meet the needs of a handicapped population. He worked constantly with the Special Olympics. He was always providing bowling opportunities for group homes, and on one occasion there was a group that was in bowling, and this one young lady was there in a wheelchair. She was suffering from cystic fibrosis, very debilitating to her body, and the bowling center has wheelchair ramps that you'd place on the arms of the wheelchair so they can bowl. And my job that day was to work with this group. And this young lady was there, and she wheeled herself up to the lane, and I placed the bowling ball ramp on her wheelchair, placed the ball there, and it was all that she could do was to place a hand on the ball, and I helped her, and she sent it down the lane. Womp, 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 as it's rolling so slowly on the thumb hole. And I'm watching as the ball is careening ever so slowly to the gutter. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, please let it at least get a pin. And lo and behold, it strikes the 10 pin. And it starts to teeter and finally tips. And then there was this squeal of delight from the young lady that I was standing next to. She was so overjoyed that she struck a pin. And then I heard her say, "Thank you, Jesus." And she began to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." My world was changed in that moment. My world was changed because God is not an intellectual exercise. God is not far off. God is not hidden. God longs to be seen. God longs to be in right relationship with all of creation. And that was so abundantly clear. And the other transformative moment was as my oldest son came, and we, after a few days in the hospital, came home for the very first time. We pulled into the driveway, and suddenly we didn't have a nurse to help anymore. Brittany and I looked at each other, and I was like, "What do we do?" But in that moment, my outlook on all people changed. I understood what it was to love as God loved others. For me, those were those transformative moments. My prayer is that God would have those moments where he would give you his eyes for the world, his eyes, his heart for those that are around you. But it begins with you seeing him. This morning in our gospel passage, we have this beautiful window, this beautiful moment, this powerful, unforgettable moment as Jesus has set his face like flint to Jerusalem. He's headed to the cross. And in this moment, in this snapshot, he is physically placed upon the cross and he is suffering. He's been beaten, he's been scourged, he's been nailed to the cross. And in that moment, He looks and he sees his mother. He sees Mary, and he sees the disciple whom he loved, John, standing nearby. And the character of God shined through. And he says, "Woman, here is your son." Because he knew in that moment his mom, who he dearly loved, was in need. That day, that age, that culture, that community, a woman that was a widow, a woman that would have no family to care for her, needed someone to care for her. And God was not going to let that not happen. Jesus looked to John and said, "John, this is your mother." But then did you catch the second half? Because we see the character of God shining through as he speaks to John. "John, this is your mother." We see how important family, community, relationships are to the heart of God. Here is your son. Here is your mother. Lord, we pray that we would see your heart. We would encounter you this morning. Because you are speaking about your character, your heart, your love for all of humanity, as you long to bring all people into right relationship with you. In his darkest hour, in his hardest moment, he was providing for his mom. As he was hanging there, suffering the most unimaginable punishment, he was providing for his disciple. And he was providing for us. As we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see Paul here after the time of Jesus. As Paul is going around proclaiming the good news of Jesus, we again see the character of God, the value that he places upon community, upon family, as Paul is speaking to Timothy. And we've seen how Timothy is used to lead God's church. Timothy has been raised up. Timothy has been trained. Timothy has been equipped to be in charge of a new outpost of heaven. We hear in 1 Timothy chapter 4 how Timothy was to set an example for all the believers in life, in speech, in purity. Timothy was one who, in his great faith, was going to help be one of those that God was using to ignite the earth for the goodness of the gospel. But here Paul is talking about where that great faith came from. That great faith came from a family that loved the Lord. That faith came from people pouring into Timothy. In this case, his grandmother, his mother, Lois and Eunice. And how powerful it is for them to be named by Paul. Not just, "Oh, you had family that cared for you." But he spoke about how his mother and grandmother poured into Timothy's life. And that is the invitation that we have to pour into the next generation. To pour into the next generation faith that would cause us to go into all the world and proclaim the goodness of Jesus. A sincere faith that was passed on to Timothy. A sincere faith that it says the gift of God, in verse 7, the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Power to stand firm in a broken world. So this is what comes of when we share the good news of Jesus with others. When we draw near to God and we give him away to others, to our loved ones, to our community, to those whom we cross paths with. Well, power to stand firm in this broken world. Love to know whose we are. And the ability to love others as he first has loved us. And self-discipline to walk in obedience to God, to be sensible in our actions and our behaviors, and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. God wants to be seen. God wants to be found. God wants to be known. God wants to be in relationship with each and every one of us. As a church, as you walk into our sanctuary, you see on the wall, love God, love others, make disciples. It's our mission. It's our purpose. It's what we long to do. It's what we want each and every one of us as we gather in this place, to love God, to love others, and make disciples. I came across this powerful quote from Francis Chan, and it says, simply put, the love that God has for us is not our reward. The love that God has for us is our foundation. If we want to take serious as a church, if we want to take serious the invitation to love God, to love others, to make disciples, it begins with an overarching statement that's above it all, and that is to allow God to love us first. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we know how to love because he first loved us. We can't create it, we can't earn it, we can't think ourselves through it. It is something we need to put ourselves in the place of letting God love us. Putting ourselves in the place where God loves us. And when we start to put ourselves in that place, that's when we start to get his heart for the world. We start to have his eyes for those that are around us. And as we know that we are loved deeply, dearly, and eternally, then we can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as we love God with everything we've got, then we become more able, more equipped to love others as he first loved us, and to make disciples, to go into all the world, to preach and to teach and to tell others about Jesus. But it begins with knowing and experiencing God's love for us. I want to leave you this morning with three invitations, three challenges, three things to consider. One, take the time this morning. Take the time as the day unfolds, as the week progresses in front of us. Take the time to look for the ways in which God is at work around you in those that are in your life. See the ways in which that God has placed others in your life to love you as he loves you. I thank God this morning for the way in which my grandmothers, my mother, countless spiritual mothers in my life have loved me well. None have loved me perfectly, because only God can love perfectly, but they've done all that they can. I recognize that some might not be in that place, and that is where we as a church are invited and called and challenged to love others well. But experience and put yourself in the place where you're paying attention to the ways in which you are loved. We thank God this morning for mothers, for grandmothers, for foster parents, for spiritual mothers, for mothers soon to be. Give God thanks this week. Give him praise for the ways in which he has showed up in the lives around you to love you. Second, love others the way in which God has loved you. Love has a beautiful explanation poured out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many times we think it's, oh, that's the wedding passage. Well, hopefully so. But I think God is calling us to love one another, not just in a marriage relationship, but God is calling us to love each and every one of us according to his character, according to his heart. So I'd encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and then challenge yourself. Be in God's presence and look for opportunities to be patient, to be kind, to be hopeful, to persevere through good and bad, and to keep no record of wrong with one another. Because that's what love is, according to God. And lastly, by keeping the third, make disciples. Make disciples of your family. Make disciples of your loved ones. Make disciples of those whom you come across. And if you think, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to give you the first step. The first step in going and making disciples is being a disciple yourself. To be a disciple yourself, it means to spend time in God's word, to get to know him. He doesn't want to be far off. He wants to be known. He wants to be part of our lives. Spend time in God's word. Spend time in worship. Spend time in community. spend time with Jesus. Again, happy Mother's Day. May each and every one of us see Jesus through the way in which he loves us and how we love each other. Please pray with me, a little adaptation of Deuteronomy chapter 6 as we began our time. Lord, you are one. May we today love you with all of our hearts and with all of our souls and with all of our strength. The commandments that you give us today are on our hearts. Lord, impress them upon our children, upon our families, upon our loved ones. Give us the discipline to talk about them when we sit at home and when we walk along the road and when we lie down and when we get up. May we tie them as symbols upon our hands and bind them upon our foreheads. May we write them on the door frames of your house, of our heart, and on our gates. In your holy and precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.